Welcome to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm your host, Jenny Taft. This podcast is a condensed version of today's episode of Undisputed, handpicked with the best segments and discussions. Skip, Shannon, let's go.
Well, the Saints continue to show their dominance, winning their 10th straight game yesterday, 31-17 against the Falcons. Drew Brees boosted his MVP case with four touchdown passes to four different undrafted receivers. New Orleans joins the Rams as the only teams with 10 wins in the NFL, but the Saints beat the Rams earlier this month. So we're joined now by FS1 NFL analyst Eric Dickerson. ED, are the Saints the best team in the NFL?
Well, you know what? The Rambassador would have to just give it up. You know, I've got to say, right now, they're playing the best football out of any team in the National Football League. I just have to say. Hey, you know, I'm honest. It is what it is.
Yeah,
you know, it
is what it is. Realize your sideline pass might just
It might get revoked. It might get revoked. But now, hold up. I say right now. Right now.
Still got five games to go.
Thank you. We're going to week 13 right now. So at week 12, you know, the Saints look very good. But this is not the playoffs. And you know how football is. Sometimes you peak too early. Mm-hmm. I look at the Saints. They have pretty much everyone healthy. I mean, they really do. And that's a rarity in the National Football
League. Especially this late in the season.
This late in the season. They're playing very good football. You know, one thing, we played them the last time, we did not have Talib in. I think when we get him back the next time, we will play him again. Like I told some of the Saints fans, we will see y'all again. Mm-hmm. I think
you were there at...
I was at the game. I was at the game. And I feel like that this team is just playing on all cylinders right now. I mean, they are. I mean, they don't... I think when we played them, they didn't punt the ball until the third quarter. Right. I mean, I think the punter has got the easiest job in the National Football League, the Saints punter right now. So, for sure, I'd have to say the Saints are playing the best football right now. But I want to save some stuff and see how you guys feel. I got some stuff I want to say, but I'm going to let you guys go. But right now, the Rambassador have to give it up. The Saints are playing the best football. Right now.
You must have had humble pie for dessert yesterday.
I'll agree with you, ED. I think they are the best team right now. They're playing the best. And I think the only difference that I see, because I don't think they've added anybody's skill from last year to this year, that says, okay, this is the reason. Kamara was there. He was offensive player, offensive rookie of the year. Ingram was there. Both of these two guys were pro bowlers. Mm-hmm. Michael Thomas went to the Pro Bowl last year. Lattimore was defensive player of the year. So I don't really think they've added anybody. Just says, okay, this is why they're better. I think the biggest difference is belief. You remember after Philly got to the Super Bowl, won the Super Bowl, Kamara said they didn't want to see us because we're going to beat the you-know-what out of them. They believe
that is true.
That they would have beaten the Eagles and would have gone to the Super Bowl and won. They believe that. So now that's carried over. See, that's carried over from last year to this year. And
it took the Minnesota Miracle to stop that.
Yes. Okay. They're the sixth team in rushing, the seventh in pass offense, and they protect Drew Brees. He's only been sacked 10 times in 11 games. And they're getting after the opposing team quarterbacks, 13 sacks in the last three games. Held Cincinnati to 14 points, held Philly to 17 points, Atlanta, that offense, to 17 points, while getting 50 and 40 and 30. I mean, let that sink in. Hmm. They beat the defending Super Bowl champs 48-7. They went to Cincinnati and hung 51 on them.
They did.
And didn't punt the ball. The only time they didn't score is when they kneeled down on three straight possessions at the end of the game. And then they just did a number on Atlanta. They're playing the best. And Drew Brees, Michelle Tafoya asked Drew after the game last night, what's different? Why are you guys having such success? He says, you know what? He said, we have fun. Hmm. We enjoy being around each other. We have fun.
So you turn the sound up?
I turned the sound up after the game. After the game.
He tells me you never listen.
I don't listen to the sound during the game because I don't need to hear
that. I got you on that.
He's like, but when it's time to get down to business, we get down to business.
They do.
That reminds me of when we played from 96 to 98 in Denver. Mike let us have fun, but when it's time to went to work, we got those lunch pails, we got those hard hats, and we got work. And you see that in the play, the way they play. They sincerely love being around each other. They love playing for one another. They're going to be a tough out for anybody that gets them in the playoffs.
So clearly the Saints are playing at the highest level because they just a couple of weeks back, they beat your team 45-35. And they were way ahead, and then your team came back in that game, and you do have that as a plus on your side. But I think, Mr. Rambassador, you would agree with me that if these teams meet again, it all depends on where they meet again, right?
I agree with that.
Okay.
100%.
So is it going to be out here in beautiful Los Angeles outside, or is it going to be in that dome down there on Bourbon Street? Because if it's in that dome again, I do not love your chances, even with a second shot down there. So you're going to have to tell me, these teams are both 10-1. Is somebody going to lose? What's going to happen here? Because the tiebreaker obviously belongs to New Orleans.
Correct, right.
So are they both going to win out? Your team has one really tricky game because it's up in the cold
in Chicago
on a Sunday night. It's coming up in December. Mm-hmm. And that's going to be real cold. And I don't know if your outdoor Rams are going to love that game. So if you blow that game and this team wins out, New Orleans, that'd be bad news for your team, right?
Yeah, yes. Could be bad news, mm-hmm. But I'm gonna say this much here. You know, like you said before, it's hard to beat the same team twice. You know, one thing about us, I believe, is that I know this is that we have the best special teams in the NFL. I believe that. You know, I think we just got Faro Cooper back. You know, I think that's a plus for us. Dante Fowler has been playing.
He has.
He's been playing really good football.
Yeah.
He fits our football team very well. One thing I like that the Saints do, and I'm probably gonna. They might even not do it anymore. I love when they take Kamara off the field. Really, I'm like, thank God he's not on the field. And they put Mark Ingram in. Because I must say, I watched him yesterday. I'm like, okay, I've been saying it in my mind. I say, this guy reminds me of myself. He's like a mini me. He really is. He's elusive. You know, you think you got him. You don't have him. He's fast. He's quick. That's one thing that
I'm
really concerned when they keep him on the field. Michael Thomas, I like him as a receiver. You're not going to stop him, but I think the next time we will control him. I do agree, if we play him in New Orleans, it's hard to beat him in New Orleans. But I'll say it again. You know this, too. It's hard to beat the same team twice. When we played that football game, we did a couple things I didn't like. We didn't run the football enough and went for that trick play instead of taking the field goal, mm-hmm. and keeping the game, right. taking the lead. We took the lead.
That's who your coach is.
I believe that next time we play them, mm-hmm. we won't do that. We'll take the points because we can score with the Saints. The thing is stopping the Saints. The second half, we stopped the Saints. They had 10 points. They scored, 35 in the first half?
Correct.
10 points in the second half.
I think the thing what they force you to do and what these teams, mm-hmm. the Kansas City's, your team, the Saints, is that they force you to do things that you don't know, because you know it's not going to be a 21-24 ball game. You're going to have to get upwards of 30 points. And like how many, because what is the likelihood of us stopping this team? And that's what the Rams and Kansas City did on Monday night. They knew it was going to be one of those games. And that's what, and the Rams knew, look, he's like, we got to take a chance here because we see how the Drew Brees and this offense is going up and down the field on us. But I agree, when Tlaib comes back, now all of a sudden, because Tlaib is going to get Michael Thomas is the type of guy that Tlaib can have some success on because he's a bigger receiver. It's that Tyreek Hill, it's the smallest guy that got that little wiggle to him that gives the bigger cornerbacks a problem. So it's going to be very, very interesting. But I tell you what, if you don't get to number 9 and put his butt on the ground, you leave him up standing up if you want to. I don't care who you got covering. He gonna throw it to him.
I didn't notice Aaron Donald in that game at New Orleans.
He didn't have a great game, mm-hmm. but you know he's always a factor because they have to double team him. But I'll say it again, it's hard to beat a team twice. I don't care where you play them at. You can play them at home, on the road. And look, the Saints are a very, very good football team. But don't forget, we are a very, very good football team too.
But
these are
what?
Two football teams.
Here's what troubles me about your team, because we both, you know, Wade Phillips better than I do, but I know him fairly well. And I just have always loved what he does, mm-hmm. as a coordinator. That defense is not very good. And I know Tlaib hasn't been there for a while, but they're 23rd in points allowed. I thought they were going to be top 5. Didn't you?
I did. I thought they'd be better than they are.
23rd?
And the run.
I said they're giving up the run. Because when you can run the football, you can kind of do everything.
Right.
And the Saints, their offensive line is playing very well. Our offensive line is playing very well. When you can run the football, you can do a lot. My biggest gripe with our football team is we don't run the football enough in certain situations. Mm. That's my only gripe, but I'll say it again. I'm going to keep saying it. If we play them again, we'll get them. Mm. Home or in New Orleans. Mm. It's hard to beat New Orleans in New Orleans. The ambassador said it. You heard me say it here first. If we play them in New Orleans, well, wherever we play them, we can play them on the playground. We're going to get them.
So Eric Dickerson from Sealy, Texas.
Yes, sir.
I believe you're a closet Cowboy fan, though you won't admit it.
No, I'm not.
Yeah, you are. But you need to start rooting for my Dallas Cowboys because there's a cool breeze that's going to blow in from the state of Louisiana, the neighboring state, next Thursday night into Dallas, Texas.
And oh, that's right. I do need the Cowboys.
You do. You need to start rooting for the Cowboys, right?
I bought you a jersey yesterday.
I know.
I got to call my homeboy. I got to get me a Drew Brees jersey.
Jim, I don't think you know what team you like.
It's whatever team's hot at the moment.
Who did you pick? Who did you pick for the Super Bowl? Who did you pick? From the beginning?
So did I.
Okay, all right.
I got them winning. He got the Patriots winning.
I don't think the Patriots are going to make it there.
They're not. You don't think so?
Mm-mm. You guys have written
them. We got due right now.
I don't think
we got some due.
So much
pliability.
Yep. We'll prevail.
Drew Reed, like he doing pliability.
I think you're
sticking around for another segment.
Yes.
All right, good. Is it time to consider the Cowboys a legitimate contender
in
the NFC? It's a great question. We're going to discuss it next. No
mercy. Support for Undisputed comes from our friends at Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loans, America's premier home purchase lender. Let's talk about buying a home. It can be one of the most important purchases you'll ever make. But today's fluctuating interest rates can leave you with unexpected higher payments, which can turn a great experience into an anxious one. That's why Quicken Loans created their exclusive power buying process. Here's how it works. They check your income, assets, and credit to give you a verified approval. This gives you the strength of a cash buyer, making your offer more attractive to sellers. Once verified, you qualify for their exclusive Rate Shield approval. They'll lock your interest rate for up to 90 days while you shop for your new home. Then, once you've found the one, if rates have gone up, your rate stays the same. But if rates have gone down, you get to keep that new lower rate. Either way, you win. It's the kind of thinking you'd expect from America's largest mortgage lender. To get started, go to rocketmortgage.com/undisputed. Rate Shield approval only valid on certain 30-year purchase transactions. Additional conditions or exclusions may apply. Based on Quicken Loans data in comparison to public data records. Equal housing lender, licensed in all 50 states. NMLSConsumerAccess.org, number 3030. No
mercy. Let's get back to the Cowboys. They had a big win yesterday against the Redskins and are now in first place in the NFC East. Ezekiel Elliott had over 100 rushing yards and a touchdown, and Dak Prescott had 3 total touchdowns, including 2 TD passes to Amari Cooper. Dallas has now won 3 straight, and they have a huge Thursday night matchup next week against the 10-1 Saints. Eric Dickerson back for another segment, but we have a wardrobe change on
set. We do, because my man Eric Dickerson gifted me with this jersey for Thanksgiving yesterday, and I appreciate it so much. I told you, if we were going to win last night, which I guaranteed it yesterday, right?
You had.
That I would wear this today on air, so voila.
I want you to, that energy.
Yeah.
That energy that you got right now.
I might have some next Friday.
I want that because I can assure you I feel very comfortable in saying I'm going to have on the number 9.
Yeah. Okay. You know, I got to say, I feel real good in this jersey. Throwback. I got the stars on the shoulders.
Okay. I got to say, thank you for wearing it.
I think I look good.
Because I spent my hard-earned money on it. Went to the mall to get it just for you.
I know. I'm
impressed. Make sure you're a real Cowboy fan.
Thank you.
Not a fake Cowboy fan.
All right.
Okay. Now, what's the question?
The question here is, how far can the Cowboys go? What do you think, Eric?
Well, I'm going to start off by saying this. Tony Romo said something last year, and he said it about Dez Bryant. And he said that Dak Prescott needs to throw Dez Bryant open. Mm. As a young quarterback, you know, I don't think a young quarterback knows how to do that yet. You know, because you're playing college football, you know, you see guys getting open, getting real
open.
Getting real separation. You know, I think they had the lowest quarterback percentage to a top receiver in the National Football League, which is not good for your top guy. Mm. Now, with Amari Cooper, you know, he doesn't have to throw him open. He can get open, you know. And I think that is the big game changer. He threw to him 9 times yesterday, hit him 8. That's big. I said this before, Shannon, I don't think you're not a Dak fan. I'm a Dak fan. I think he's accurate. I think he plays hard.
He does.
I think he puts his passion into it. Mm-hmm. I didn't think he had any weapons before. I mean, look at it. When he had Dez was a possession guy. He was not a guy that's going to get real separation. He'd go up and get the ball. He wasn't a guy that's going to outrun anybody. If he'd have caught those passes yesterday, he wouldn't have took it all away.
Dak and Dez never connected.
They never connected. You know, even Jason Witten. When Jason Witten caught the ball, what did he do?
Oh, he dropped.
I'm gonna lay down. No, yeah. I'm gonna lay down. Yeah. I can't run. I'm gonna lay down. You know, it was just that time. It's that time. You got to be an old man too, like all of us do. So, how far do I think the Cowboys? I really believe. First of all, I think they're gonna get a good butt whipping next weekend. I hate to say it, against the Saints.
The Thursday night.
Thursday night game. But I really believe that they can win the NFC East because I look at the Philadelphia Eagles not playing good, and they're beat up. The Washington Redskins, they beat them really good yesterday. They're beat up. And right now, Zeke is, because Zeke has a chance to really run the football without him saying, you know what? Hey, we're gonna put an 8-9 in the box. You ain't going nowhere. They have to take a look out there at Amari Cooper now. So for sure, I believe that they will win that NFC East. It's hard for me to say that. I think they'll win it, but how far they'll go, I don't think they're gonna go far. I think they win.
Give it up, Shannon. Give it up.
Well, I don't think they're gonna go far.
It's happening.
Hold on. Time out.
You like my jersey?
No, I don't like it. How far do I think they're gonna go? Considering I don't think they're gonna make the playoffs, how far is that? I still don't believe they're gonna win the division. I still got my faith in the Eagles, Skip.
You're hanging on by
a thread. I'm hanging on for dear life. But just by hook or crook, they were to make
it. May took
hook or crook. If they were to make the playoffs, how soon do they face New Orleans or the Rams? Because if they get, well, they win the division, we know they're gonna avoid those two teams, at least in the wild card round. So they could possibly get those good teams for the divisional rounds. That's the Cowboys' MO. If they do make it to the playoffs, they're not going past the divisional. That's what they do. You know that. They haven't been to the NFC Championship game since they won the Super Bowl in 95. So we know they're not going past
but
that.
But history doesn't dictate what happens now. You have to update your resume, as you always tell me. This is a new year and a very new team.
It's the same Cowboys.
In a new way.
Same Cowboys. That's what you're hoping, Skip. Look, David. Zeke touches. He's averaging almost about 30 touches, 177 yards. If you look at the games they've won, compares to the games they've lost, Ezekiel Elliott is the one common denominator. Even before, now Amari has added a new boost to their offense.
He has.
But if you look at the games before Amari even got there, the games in which Ezekiel Elliott touched the ball almost 30 times, they won those games. So now they can get, you know, Jason Garrett, I mean, didn't take Einstein to figure that out. It's guys like you and the staunchest Dak. Oh, let Dak throw it. Oh, he can do all. No, he can't.
Nope.
Let Zeke run you to the promised land if you're going there. I don't believe they're going there. So, hey, Amari has improved the offense, but, you know, hey, we'll see. Like I said, you got that jersey on. You all good. Oh, yeah, I told you. You all that. I want you to have the end of your Friday. Next Friday, a week from today, your day coming, Skip Bayless.
I'm bouncing. I am bouncing. Okay. But I did tell you, in all objectivity, I did not love what I saw last night from my Cowboys. There was a little too much hit and miss, up and down, roller and coaster, because that's the way they played all year long.
Right.
They still are not hitting on all cylinders. They still have not put it all together. They have not peaked, which is a good thing, because I see potential, dare I say, greatness occasionally.
Maybe that
I
is
see flash. I see a flash of this and that, and I say, if that could all just come together in one fell swoop, maybe Drew Brees would be in trouble on Thursday night.
What if that is?
Might be.
What if that is their peak?
Okay.
What you just saw yesterday.
You could be right. But Amari Cooper has changed life in Dallas, Texas.
Yes.
This is a new day and a new way because all of a sudden they have connected. They are sitting. Amari said, I sit next to him in the meetings. Amari said, I love the ball that he throws to me. It's catchable to his eye. Again, you say he throws wobblers, whatever. Amari likes the wobblers. Amari is enjoying the wavelength that they're on, literally and figuratively. And as Dak said, Amari Cooper is as fast as he needs to be. He doesn't look all that fast, but his routes, he has real quickness and explosion.
He can run the tree.
Run the tree, and he runs it right. He runs it on time, on a dime.
This is what I believe, not to cut you off here. That I believe the thing that Amari loves most is that he doesn't have a head coach that browbeats him when things are not going wrong.
Because
John Gruden has yet to accept
him. He's hard to play for.
Derek Carr is Amari Cooper is this one or that.
Some guys respond to that.
Correct.
Okay. He took over a veteran Tampa team that responded to that.
Yes.
Okay. Not so much here.
Right.
These kids are different. Amari's got a little sensitive.
League.
Yep. Okay. So he's really enjoying Jason Garrett and Dak Prescott. They sit next to each other in the meetings.
Correct.
He's absorbing everything Dak. I think they're becoming good friends. That's a huge plus that's only going to get better as they go. And again, I didn't love the way they rushed the passer against Colt McCoy because they turned him into Tom Brady meets Lamar Jackson half the time because he was escaping and beating the rush, and they weren't getting to him. They weren't pressuring him enough. But they have firepower coming off the edges. They're not healthy in the interior line. If they get David Irving, he can be a monster rusher. They have firepower. And remember, they did that last night without Ty Smith at left tackle. He's an all-pro, and he run blocks better than he pass blocks. Mm-hmm. Well, they stuck in Cameron Fleming that they picked up from Tom Brady, who was his right tackle up in New England last year, and he stepped in for the first time this year at left tackle, and I didn't hear his name called all day. He didn't do anything bad or wrong. It wasn't one of those Chaz Green Memorial 8-sack games, right?
But it's coming. It happens. New Orleans get after the quarterback.
Well, and I think one thing with Amari Cooper, Amari Cooper's playing for that payday, too. I mean, you know, because he's a good receiver. I think when people think about Amari in Oakland, it was like he has the talent, but in a sense he's kind of been – lazy, you know, not putting the effort toward it, but very inconsistent.
Okay, John Gruden didn't love his competitiveness, his edge, his urgency. That, you know, he doesn't play with raw passion and emotion like Dez played that way. Right. Dez played kind of angry, like T.O. did.
Yeah, you know? Amari, think about it, Skip. Amari Cooper catch a pass. He ain't gonna get up and talking about give me the ball.
No,
he ain't doing all that. Uh-uh. He's just dropping the ball, going back to the huddle.
Goes back.
But that's how you, to me, that's how you're supposed to play.
That's his
game. How you supposed to play football. I can't stand when they jump up. Or the DB does this. I said, now what happens when you get beat? You don't be doing this.
I know you don't be doing that.
You don't be doing that.
But do you love this?
No, because it's a cowboy doing it. No, I don't.
Shannon,
I do it, and I like Zeke, but I can't stand it.
Shannon just hates this.
Yeah,
right?
Your day coming, Skip Bayless. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Next, I'll say it again.
ED, I need you here next
week. I hate
Friday.
To say it. I'm, you know, hear me say, I hate to say this. No, they're going to get beat to death by the Saints. I just feel like they're going to get beat to death. Mm-hmm. I do believe that y'all are going to win the NFC East. I do believe that.
Maybe
and
by
I wouldn't
default.
Have said that. You know what? If they didn't get Amari Cooper, I don't think they'd have won six games. I don't believe they
you
would
could
have won
be
six
right
games.
About that.
The rest of the division is hot garbage.
They messed
let's
up.
Be
the Giants, who, I mean, who they got?
Shannon, you got to give the Eagles up.
Mm-mm.
It's over.
I believe in walking to them.
I believe her Giants are going to eliminate your Eagles.
You want to do on
no,
it?
No, I don't. I just have
I'll
a
do
feeling.
On it.
Oh, you want to do on it? Okay.
I'll take a good. I'll take a do on it.
Oh, you got the Giants?
I got the. Oh, the Giants?
Yeah.
Oh, no. Oh, no. Absolutely not. My bad. I'm sorry.
He's got three cases on the Eagles winning the division, plus three more cases that the Cowboys won't win.
I'll take the Cowboys going to win it. I'll take them, dude.
Okay. I got to get you a case. Okay.
Shannon, we got this.
You don't got nothing.
What last night made possible is we can lose to New Orleans and we'll be just
fine.
Be fine. Be fine. Hey, what's that you drink, that little pint? What's it called?
Hennessy.
Yeah. I'll take some Hen.
Oh, you want that?
I'll take Hen.
You want a pint?
Would I buy you that time?
You brought me a fifth.
Give me a fifth.
All right.
What would Snoop bring you? A gallon?
Half gallon.
Oh, no. That's good, good nice. Lord.
Half gallon.
But the Cowboys are just trending upwards right now.
No, they're not.
Three in a row.
I hate to say it.
And the best point is they have not turned it over a single time in three games.
You gonna let Jay? You gonna let Jay be talking? Walk you right into a head. They're trending up. If you what they are? I get him. I get. You.
What I love is they haven't peaked. They haven't. Let them
what
play
is that
again.
The best they got?
No.
Hey, what did I just tell you? You can peak too soon.
Yeah.
They ain't peaked yet. I agree. And I thank you for wearing that jersey, Skip. Mm-hmm. I really appreciate it.
I appreciate the jersey. I like it.
Are you going to keep it on for the rest of the show, or are you going to change?
I might sleep in it tonight. I don't know.
<That'd> be Eric,
it'd be like your LeBron stuff.
Don't worry about it.
And for bringing gifts.
Next Friday.
No mercy.
Well, Dak Prescott put up some huge numbers in the big win against the Redskins yesterday. Dak threw for nearly 300 yards and had two touchdown passes to Amari Cooper. He also had a highlight reel touchdown run in the fourth quarter that helped Dallas win their third straight game. So we're joined now by noted Dak hater, Rob Parker.
Whoa.
But we're going to start.
Skip be writing those
What? Skip, you wrote that this morning.
Some of my best work.
Skip wrote this part, too. We're going to start with another hater.
Uh-oh, look at you. Wow.
Shannon, how would you grade Dak's performance yesterday?
Skip, I'm going to give him a B. Maybe a slightly B plus, but I think
really?
B is very fitting for him because I don't think he played particularly.
Well, don't equivocate. Is it a B plus
B.
or a B?
I'm giving
it
a B. I said
well,
I could
lean in B plus.
But when I wrote B down. Okay. I was like, nah, he don't deserve B+. But anyway, I just think, Skip, the first half, he didn't play particularly well. I thought he held onto the ball a little bit too long. I thought he missed some throws. If you remember, he had a guy that was wide open, and he ended up grounding it. Mm-hmm. You remember Aaron Rodgers? You said Aaron Rodgers, he just tanked it. He just threw it in the dirt. Aaron said, you know, the ball got stuck in his hand, but you weren't buying that.
Thank you for comparing Dak to Aaron Rodgers.
No, there ain't no comparison. But anyway, I didn't think he played particularly well in the first half. I thought he held onto the ball at points and times during mm-hmm. the game that he should sometimes skip. You just throw the ball away. It's okay. Mm-hmm. They got a stat for everything. If you throw the ball 5 yards, you throw the ball 10 yards, how far does the ball travel in the air? So they got a stat for everything.
They do.
So you can't get caught up in it like, well, it's going to make me look bad if I throw it away and I ain't try for a completion. But sometimes live to see another day.
Agreed.
You don't want to take all those shots.
Agreed.
Amari, the touchdowns, Amari did the legwork. Because if you look at what Amari did, 196 yards after catch, compared to, you know, 289, mm-hmm. he only had 92 yards of actual total pass yards. But I'll give him credit. I thought he, you know, made some pretty good throws. But I'm going to give it, the touchdown run was unbelievable. To break the two tackles,
yep.
the dodge, you know, they say he ran almost 35 yards mm-hmm. to get a 4-yard touchdown, mm-hmm. which was good, which put him up, 31? I think you said 31-13 at that point.
It was.
So I'll give him credit for that. But I'll give him a solid B because I think the first half he left some of the trimmings on the table.
Okay, hater number two.
All right. As you know, I'm an adjunct professor at USC.
I call it just a junk professor.
So when it comes to grades, you know, I'm very careful and I'm considerate and think about it.
Okay.
I'm going to give him a B+.
Wow.
And it's very hard for me to admit. But I'm going to give him a B+.
You're going to lose your label.
Well, I got to call it the way I see it. And I will give him credit. Considering where he had been the last couple of weeks, where they were winning with basically without him, he had one touchdown in the last 2 weeks, mm-hmm. and he has the big two touchdowns mm-hmm. and the run, and I think it helps. Even though Amari Cooper did all the legwork, it still opens up to where Dak says, "Hey, you got me a guy, I could utilize him, and he made it happen." Do you know what I mean? So I got to give him credit for at least that. And when you think about it wasn't 350 yards or whatever, 289. But where he's always around 190 or 200, mm-hmm. he looked like a functional quarterback who could win who could win you something with the right things around him, like he was his rookie year, mm-hmm. where if you have the offensive line and you have the running back who rushed for over 120 mm-hmm. yards, you have all those elements, then all of a sudden Dak's not that bad. Can you win with him? Yeah, maybe you can. Mm-hmm. And he answered the bell. So I'm going to give him a B+, and I'm not going to hate on him today. I think he did well.
Wow. The functional quarterback is in first place in the NFC East right now, just for the record.
By the skin of his teeth.
Okay. Well, maybe. So this is a first for Undisputed. Would you believe, you two Dak haters that you are, my grade is lower than your grade?
What?
Wow.
No, we should leave. We should get up and walk out.
I am C+.
Wow.
And the only reason I went to plus was because of the aforementioned run. That was a flat-out warrior run. That's Dak Prescott at 240 saying, I will not be denied. I will not go down. That's what he does best. Not that he's just a running quarterback, but he'll make a play like that every game where you'll say, wow, that was just guts. That was just, he's a gamer, he's a battler. I'm just going to get it in the end zone, however it takes to get it in the end zone, whether I'll throw it or run it. And finally he just said, you know what, I got a little crease here, I'm going to take it, I'm going to somersault into the end zone. He did it at Arizona on Monday night. He made three plays in that game that won that game because that was all the offense they had last year on a Monday night early in the year after the Denver debacle. But Shannon, to your point, 40 yards, 90 yards. Neither pass was great. The second one was pretty good, but was a little behind Amari. But the first one was just a basic pass, and Quentin Dunbar just falls down.
Well, so I know you're a Dak supporter, Skip, not to cut you off, but the guys that support him today more than you are will say, well, he threw it on his back shoulder because he saw the safety coming, and he didn't want to run him into the hit.
Okay, I got you. I'm not sure that was operating
there. No, it was not.
Because he has not shown me in the past he has that much capability to be that much of a marksman.
Yes.
I can't give him that. I hope you're right because you could make a case that it was right because he is double cover. It's actually a fairly dangerous throw. But, there are actually three Redskins in the neighborhood of the throw.
But Skip, I just look at it. His grade should be higher I think you're because of the importance of the game. It was a big game with the division, right? With the division on the line.
Yep.
National television. He could have laid an egg out there, and then that would have been like the Cowboys season would have been almost over. So I think he performed even better because of the situation and circumstance. That's why I added extra to him.
Okay. To your point, though, even though the two long touchdowns in the third quarter were more about Amari than Dak, their wavelength is growing by the throw.
Yes.
And it is becoming powerful to me. It is changing the way they play offense. And his confidence has grown so much in Amari, he's going to throw some of those balls because he thinks my guy's going to go get that ball.
Right.
And then he was able to pivot out of the 90-yarder, pivot out of the three tackles and just go with it. And Amari Cooper, as Dak said after the game, is as fast as he needs to be. Yeah. And he was fast enough on both those runs to just run past the rest of the defense. Mm-hmm. So my issues become what happened at the end of the year last year. He got sacked 8 times at Atlanta, and he turned right around on Thanksgiving Day a year ago against your
Chargers.
And it was a devastation, annihilation, mortification for me. And Dak was a basket case in that game. And he's now still holding the ball too long. He gets brain locked, like I'm second guessing. And he also audibles too much. He'll get at the line of scrimmage, he'll change the play twice, and then it's brain locked. Like then he's not gonna step into it with authority. And it all comes from last year. He hasn't gotten last year out of his system. But at least he wasn't double clutching and then throwing an interception, because he's gone 3 straight games with no turnovers, which is great. But his QBR now ranks 22nd in the league. Well, I told you, he was 3rd as a rookie, 4th last year, as bad as you gave him an F for last year. He was 4th in QBR. He's 22nd. In his last 3 games, all victories, his average QBR is 55 on a scale of 0 to 100. So he hasn't lit up the QBR, to your point, in any of the 3 games.
Right.
But yesterday, he held the ball too long. He took some sacks. And then your point about missed receivers, they had it 1st and goal at the 4, thanks to his run on a read option keeper.
Correct.
And on 1st down, he backpedals against the rushes coming in his face. And Noah Brown is just standing like Austin Carr was in the New Orleans game, just standing at the goal line like wide open. And he short arms it. And the ball bounces at the 5. It's a touchdown. You have to make that throw. If you're that guy, you make that throw. Mm-hmm. And then late in the game, they're trying to ice it. And Colt McCoy is throwing them back in the game and back in the game and back in the game. And it's 4 minutes left, and it's 3rd and 10 from the 14, and he rolls out, and Michael Gallup just toasts the DB, just runs right by him. It's a touchdown.
You got to make it.
He underthrew it by 5 yards. Mm-hmm. He threw it more to the DB than to Michael, and Michael had to come back and fight the ball to the turf.
Right.
So it's incomplete. Well, you got to make those 2 throws. So I can't.
Are you convinced as you go forward, okay, they won the big game, they were in first place, they're tied, but as you go forward, are you still did he convince you of anything, or you still are worried about the shortcomings in the last 5 games?
Which grown obviously so much with Amari Cooper. Now they have a chance that they didn't have before, because they lost close games on the road early, like at Seattle or at Houston, because he didn't have one threat at wideout. So you just couldn't score because you couldn't make a play. Nobody could make a play like those 2 plays were made because that guy was the 4th pick in the draft. If you don't have him yesterday, I'm not sure you win that game without Amari.
No, you won't.
Because right?
Because what they have now is a guy that can – he's what Dez was in Dez's first couple of years.
I agree.
Guy that can go out there, beat one-on-one coverage, make the big plays. The guy missed, he's going to hit his head on the goalpost.
He will.
But I tell you why you should be pleased or pleasantly surprised, because the Cowboys, before they went on the streak, Skip, they hadn't won back-to-back games. Mm. They hadn't won on the road.
No. Nope.
And they hadn't scored 20-plus points in back-to-back games.
Okay.
Now they're putting 20 points in 3 consecutive games, all wins.
Okay.
And they're getting Ezekiel Elliott more involved.
What I love the most about Dak Prescott, he competes. He competed when they lost at Washington in the 4th quarter. He threw for 120 yards after he made the mistake of the day when he fumbled in his own end zone and just gave him a 20-10 lead with a touchdown. And then he fought him all the way back to a field goal at the buzzer. Should have been 5 yards closer, but the bogus call and the kicker hit the left upright.
So, yeah.
But the point was, Dak got him back in that game, and Jerry Jones said after the game, I can win a lot of games with that quarterback.
Can you win the big game? Can you win that game? And that's the one I still don't trust him.
How close did he come to beating Aaron Rodgers as a rookie
not
in his
close.
First era? Not that close? Are you kidding me?
Aaron Rodgers wasn't worried.
It took a 56-yard field goal and a 51-yard field goal to beat Dak Prescott. You know, and by the way, he threw for 300-plus in that game, three touchdowns.
Yeah, but, Skip, you also know once you're down big, defenses lay off a little bit and give you some space in front of them.
If you notice, Skip, when
did he not fight?
He did.
Yep. If you notice, when teams are worried, you know, guys be on the sideline, they be on the knee, holding hands. Aaron Rodgers sitting on the bench like this here. old Crosby got this thing. Just sit like that. Because everybody else on the bench, like Green Bay, everybody else except Aaron.
Yeah.
Even Mike McCarthy was holding hands with the coaches. He was worried, but not O'Aaron.
You mean the Aaron Rodgers who isn't even 500 this year? That guy?
Hold on. There was a time your quarterback won 500. You see how you get Skip?
That's
you
unbelievable.
Old front running Skip Bayless.
Don't you remember last year?
But my quarterback hasn't had Devontae Adams all year. He had five receiver.
I don't know if he's top five.
Yes, he is.
No, he
is. My quarterback has no Jimmy Graham because he has no tight end.
Jimmy Graham is hurt.
He broke his thumb.
He's back. He's going to play.
With a broken thumb.
I don't know. That's what it said.
What are you going to catch? Pies? Because that's the only thing a guy can eat with a broken thumb with that big old cast on it.
Is there a Randall Cobb on this Cowboy roster?
Randall Cobb, Skip.
Huh?
He's been playing like Randall
Cobb. How about those two rookies that Aaron Rodgers gets to throw to?
Scantlin.
Yeah.
And EQ?
St.
Brown?
Yeah.
Skip, who would you take?
Those are studs.
Who would you take right now?
Wait a second. 6'4 and 6'5?
They should play basketball, but it should be point guards in the NBA thing.
Who would you take right now if you had to win a big game? You're the Cowboys. Matt Stafford or Dak Prescott?
Easy Dak Prescott. Like, easy. Because he already beat Matt Stafford with a clutch late throw.
Do
you remember that? Yeah. This year he did it.
He did. He had a big throw downfield.
I might take Chase Daniels over Matt Stafford.
Maybe.
Matt Stafford just...
Yeah, but Matt Stafford will make four or five throws a game where I'll say, boy, that is big time.
And then he'll make four or five
to the other team.
How you throw a pick six and you got the ball goal to goal with three timeouts and end the game?
I don't know. That's that guy.
$92 million guaranteed.
Yep.
You know, it serves them right. It serves Detroit right. You know why? Because they fired Jim Caldwell after they went to the playoffs.
You know what?
Twice.
I agree. Now
that you look at it, that was a bad mistake.
I didn't work it out for
mistake.
You.
Now you're stuck with Coach Pencil.
Right.
Yeah. Right.
And Bob Quinn's the GM, who's from New England, so he ain't going nowhere.
Well, anybody go tell Matt Patricia to stand up? have a little pride about it.
Right.
Have some respect.
Rob, thank you for joining us here.
I'm sorry. I didn't mean to bring Stafford in, but that was
you
bad.
Couldn't help yourself.
I had to get it off my chest. No mercy.
It should be a great one tomorrow at the Horseshoe. Number 4, Michigan against number 10, Ohio State on Fox. Jim Harbaugh, 0-3 against Ohio State since he's been at Michigan. Who you got, Shannon?
I know who I don't have.
Yep. Khaki pants?
Yep. I got Urban. Let's go, Urban. Skip, look. Michigan has a vaunted defense, but I don't think they faced a big play offense like what Ohio State possessed.
That is true.
Ohio State history, they had one 400-yard passing game in this history. Haskins has 4 this year alone. So they can throw the ball, and now they've settled on the running back in Dobbins. He can flat out do it. Mm-hmm. And Michigan has given up 190-plus yards the last 2 weeks to Rutgers and Indiana. The question is, Michigan's best pass rusher is Chase Winovich. Can he play? And if he does play, how well will he play?
I don't know, because they do not disclose.
Exactly. Yep. And so Ohio State has a weakness on defense. They give up the big plays. But that's not what Michigan is offensively. They're not a big play offense. They run the ball. They try to grind you down. And then Shea Patterson will make a few plays with his leg. Mm-hmm. And then he'll try to hit a play here or there. Mm-hmm. But Michigan, they haven't won at the Horseshoe, since 2000. I think Urban continued that streak, keeps them from winning. Mm. And you know what, Skip Bayless? If he doesn't win this game, this season is all for naught. That revenge tour that they probably got hanging on the walls in Michigan, all the shirts and T-shirts they got printed up, will be for naught. Will be for
naught. Is Urban going to make it to the game? I hope he does.
Ohio State wins.
Big?
Nope.
Give us a score.
And you know what? Because of Ohio State, now Urban, he's not normally an underdog. But since he's been there, he doesn't lose as an underdog.
He does not.
And he ain't talking about no spread. He going to get them dubs straight up.
He does.
I say it's going to be a close. I'll give Ohio State. I say they win 24-20.
24 is a lot of points to put up against the defense that's allowed the fewest yards in the nation so far.
No, I don't know about them yards. I know about them points, and that's what they're going to get, 24.
Well, they're 4th in points allowed.
Who number one?
Who do they play?
I don't skip. I just want you that.
When you're playing the Citadel, are you going to be number one in points allowed? The Citadel?
Y'all play Rutgers.
Really?
Rutgers, Citadel. Illinois, Indiana.
Anybody playing the SEC anymore?
Yeah,
I mean,
they
seriously.
Play,
can anybody? Arkansas? Can Arkansas play?
Don't do this, Kevin.
You checked out Arkansas? So, I believe that khaki pants, as in Jim Harbaugh, is going to prevail at the Horseshoe on Saturday. I believe that Jim Harbaugh has a defense that is far superior to the Ohio State's defense, because you realize at Maryland last Saturday, they gave up 51. That was real close to 53 because they went for two in the top. I mean, the win.
Yeah.
And it was 52-51. You like that?
Yeah, but
you trust that?
Your quarterback can't throw it like that, and he doesn't have receivers that can go down the field and get it.
You know what? He does have receivers. You are underestimating. Michigan has firepower at receiver. I'm not saying Shea Patterson has the biggest arm, but when you least expect it, he will get the ball over your head. And Tariq Black is back now, and he's their fastest receiver, and they haven't gotten him back in the mix in the rotation. But you watch, he will have one or two big catches, and Shea Patterson just operates the offense. He's got guts. It's like the Gruden syndrome. You say it's hard to play for John Gruden. It is really hard to play for Jim Harbaugh.
It is.
He grinds his quarterbacks into sawdust, and Shea Patterson is just gutsy enough, just has a big enough backbone to stand up to Jim Harbaugh, and he doesn't get ground down, and he makes little big plays with his legs, sneaky plays with his legs when you least expect it. And he can throw. He's accurate, but not with a big arm. He's soft arm, but accurate. He'll make enough plays.
Jim Harbaugh played for Coach Schembechler. He learned his coaching style under Coach Schembechler. So everything he does is that old school. They want to run the ball. He did it everywhere. Look at San Francisco. You look at here. You look at all the stops. He run the football. And so you know what? Ohio State says, we don't believe you. Now, they have the athletes that could probably do something with Coach Harbaugh. So we're going to see, Skip, how well, because you said this is the difference. They got Shea Patterson. So we'll see. Because I believe Urban Meyer and that what's the defensive coordinator? He was about to be the head coach of Tennessee until all that.
What, for Michigan?
Shiano for Ohio State.
Oh, for Ohio State.
I believe he will take away what they do. We're going to see if Shea Patterson can throw the football. You believe he can consistently enough in this ball game to help Michigan win.
Yeah.
I believe Coach Shiano will take that away from him.
Michigan simply has the best defensive coordinator in football in Don Brown.
So no, the best defensive coordinator in football resides in Tuscaloosa.
Oh.
Nick Saban. Oh, Saint Nick.
Yeah, and plays who? The thing I hope the most, what I told you before this year started, was I got Michigan upsetting Alabama, but Michigan's got to get to Alabama first.
No chance, Skip.
So Michigan's got to get through Columbus, Ohio, and then through Northwestern, and they were down 17-0 in Northwestern, came back at Northwestern.
They're
going to have to go beat them again in Indianapolis, I think is where it is.
Skip.
Yeah. And if they do, then they get to St. Nick.
I believe there's one team that can legitimately beat Alabama on a neutral site. That's Clemson. Because they have a defense and that D-line, and they have the athletes. But other than that, you're not beating Coach Saban with that style of offense that Michigan run. Toss it, hand it. That's not happening. Ask Leonard Fournette how that goes.
Yeah, they got three good running backs who can just
and we'll stop them all.
No,
pound stop them all. Yeah. And O'Toole.
And you know what?
Heisman Trophy winning Tua.
Even against Alabama, if it comes to this, the best defensive player on the field will belong to Michigan, because Rashawn Gary's going to be top five. Yeah. And he doesn't always play to his top five label, and he's had a bad shoulder. But he is back, and I think he is primed to launch.
Y'all have the best one player, but the other 10 will belong to Bama.
I don't think so.
Best 10, other 10
really
will belong to
Bama. This defense can suffocate. Now, it hasn't played the firepower that Ohio State has. And Dwayne Haskins is no joke. He's 36 touchdowns and 7 interceptions. But Shea Patterson is 5th in the nation in QBR because he can operate.
How many got 36 to what?
7.
Tua got? 31-2. And one pass. Think about that, Skip Bailey. He's throwing one pass in the fourth quarter.
He's going to have to play four quarters to beat Michigan if Michigan can get through this game.
Yeah, we'll play four because it's the championship game, so we're not going to take anybody out. Yeah. So, I mean, we'll probably beat them probably by somewhere between 21 and 24 points.
To beat Michigan?
Yeah.
Can I get that now?
Nope.
Will you give me 20? I'll take 21 right now.
Y'all not going.
Well, if it comes to that, a hypothetical, just a future bet. I need 21 right now. Please? Mm-mm. Why not? You just spat it out.
That's what's going to happen.
Yeah.
Because I know y'all not going to be there.
Huh.
Because this is what's going to happen, Skip. I got a feeling there's a great chance Ohio State can win this game and still not make the Alabama Invitational.
Sure. No, I got that. Plus, what do we have here? We have a troubled program at Ohio State. Am I right about that? And we have the end of the revenge tour. And again, the revenge tour took a couple of weeks off because they had to go to Rutgers and just play Indiana.
Yeah.
And it didn't matter.
Ain't nobody say nothing about that.
This is the last stop on the revenge tour.
Rutgers.
Here we go.
Everybody want to criticize the SEC because of the schedule that they played. But hold on. Whether you play in week one, week five, or week nine before you play your fiercest competitor.
Mm-hmm.
If they're on your schedule, they're on your schedule. Rutgers is on their schedule. Illinois, Indiana, Nebraska. Really?
Hmm.
Well, those are not Dr. Tom Osborne.
Yeah, but remember, they didn't play very well at Rutgers, and they won 42-7. You like that?
Look, we didn't play very well, and we won 50-17 over
you have there. Played nobody. You're playing this. Are you taking pride in
LSU?
It was 10-10 at halftime.
What about LSU?
You like that?
What about LSU?
Huh?
What about LSU?
LSU can't score on anybody.
Neither will Michigan.
Michigan would just shut out LSU.
What about Mississippi State?
But what about them?
What about Texas A&M? All those teams are ranked, and we beat the brakes off.
Two out of three, we didn't even let them score. They're all mediocre. You have played nobody.
So let me ask you a question. Who has Michigan played? They lost to Notre Dame. Lost to them.
They beat Wisconsin when they were highly ranked.
Oh, Wisconsin just lost. Yeah. Didn't they lose to Nebraska?
They beat Michigan State when they were highly ranked.
Really?
Yeah.
Michigan State. Hold on.
They beat Penn State.
Didn't Michigan State just lose to an FCS team or something?
No, I don't know.
Yeah.
They won at Michigan State. Revenge.
You know, Jamie, this is what everybody
dominated.
This is what everybody tells me about Alabama. Mm-hmm. Oh, the Roll Tide don't play anybody.
Mm-hmm.
But at the end of the year, we always having that confetti rain down on us. Why? Mm-hmm. So we don't play anybody in the national championship game?
I already called this. I called it way back in August. I said, Michigan is coming for Alabama. And you laughed at me, and you bet me three cases that they would lose five games. And you already lost that one. Huh?
Coach Saban going to get seven.
You're in trouble.
Lucky seven.
You are in big trouble.
Michigan's
got all the ingredients to slow down and then stop
Alabama.
How do
you win six national championships in 10 years? How?
You play good football.
How?
Michigan's got a better defense than Alabama.
Khaki Pants is going to win against Ohio State. He's going to get his first win.
Uh-oh. I mean, if you take Coach Leahy's Notre Dame team, if you take the Black Knights Army when they had the Glenn Davis and Doc Blanchard inside, outside, if you combine them together over a 10-year span, they can't do what Bama doing right now.
Alabama conversation. No mercy. The Lakers host the Jazz tonight, but a lot of attention around LeBron is still back in Cleveland. Kyrie Irving is in Boston and LeBron is in L.A., but there's still a lot of attention on their breakup. Kyrie wanted out, but LeBron apparently wanted to work it out. LeBron spoke about Kyrie's desire to not play with him anymore earlier this week. Well, LeBron said, quote, "That's not my problem. If that's the case, that's definitely not my problem. I never felt like I didn't want to play with him. The only thing I tried to do is give him whatever I could and more. I think by the time it got to me, he wanted to be traded. I think he was already gone. He was already gone, and it was up to the organization to do their job and try to keep him as well. The guy still had 2 years left on his contract. They didn't have to give him up. It could have been repaired then. Bring him in. Let's see what happens." All right, Shannon. You agree with LeBron there?
I do. It's not my job to, I'm on the, I come to a team and all of a sudden you don't want to play with me for whatever reason. But I think the main reason Kyrie wanted to have his own team, he wanted to be the top dog, the alpha dog. And he realized as long as LeBron was there, LeBron was going to be the alpha. But I don't really know what other sacrifices LeBron could have made to accommodate Kyrie, Skip. It's not often that LeBron is an alpha. Kyrie is also an alpha. But LeBron suppressed who he naturally was. Kyrie, you want to close? Go ahead. I go stand in the corner. You handle that. Kyrie's last year in Cleveland, he shot the ball 1.5 times more per game. So you think Michael Jordan would concede and let Scottie Pippen shoot the ball more times in a game for average of the season, shooting more shots than him? Do you think Larry Bird is going to let Kevin McHale or Robert Parrish or Dennis Johnson shoot the ball more than them? Now, Magic probably always had fewer shots than Kareem and James Worthy, but that's okay. We understand that that's a point guard. Mm-hmm. But what all-time great will sacrifice who they are, suppress who they naturally are, which is to lead and be the dog that takes the last shot? Remember, Skip, when Michael Jordan left, Scottie Pippen then felt it was his place to be the top dog. When Phil Jackson ran the play, the final play in the championship in the playoffs, for Tony Kukoc instead of Scottie Pippen. Scottie Pippen refused to go into the game.
That is correct.
He said, I ain't going in.
Okay.
LeBron James said, y'all want to run the last play for Kyrie? Kai, take it. Mm. I'm over here in the corner.
Except when David Black called. Whoa,
get back to see
David Black called one for Kyrie. Do you remember that at Chicago? And it was a big turning point.
You're out your mind?
Huh?
First of all.
And LeBron shot it mad.
Shot it down because.
He shot it mad. And he made it.
No, he didn't shot it, man.
He did
how he had, like you like to say, I'm going to use your term. Mm-hmm. He had little to no respect for David Black, so he refused.
Who was soon the ex-coach.
Had to get him up out of there. Yeah. Got him up out of there. But Skip, I don't really know what, it's not LeBron's fault that guys want to or do not want to play with him.
Mm-hmm.
And as he mentioned, by the time it got to him, it was off. And even Skip, even though LeBron knew, it was voiced to him that Kai says he'd rather have surgery than play with you. He no longer wants to be your teammate, no matter what concessions you're really to make. Even then, in this article, he says, bring him to camp. We could have made it work.
Mm-hmm. He did.
Huh?
He had 2 years left on his contract.
Even after that, it's hard. Mm-hmm. Skip, it's hard. When someone tells you they don't want you and you say, well, just give me another chance.
Mm-hmm.
And that's what LeBron was saying. Kai, just give me another chance, bro. Whatever I need to do.
Mm-hmm.
You want to take 2-3 more shots? Sure. You want to have the ball? Sure.
Mm.
LeBron's not at fault here, Skip. I'm done.
Okay, good. So, believe it or not, I agree with every point you just made. So, let's rise above this. And my question back to you is, why does LeBron keep talking about
that? Gotta ask him questions. You say when a reporter asks you a question, you answer it honestly.
The honest and best answer to this question is, I've moved on. I'm a Los Angeles Laker, and that was a long time ago. Because it was a long time ago.
Yes, just last year.
Well, it was before last year. So the point is, all of a sudden, LeBron's not in a good spot. He's in a great spot. Because all of a sudden, Golden State is a seriously troubled operation right now. They got deep-rooted problems that I do not think will be solved unless they trade Draymond Green.
Mm-hmm.
But however they're going to try to fix it, they do have a problem. And you would agree with that.
I would agree.
So all of a sudden, the prohibitive favorite doesn't look quite as prohibitive anymore.
Right.
And all of a sudden, the best of the West don't look so best right now. And, you know, Houston seems like they're putting it back together a little bit. Oklahoma City's starting to put it back together.
Utah is not as good
Utah, and they're visiting tonight.
L.A.
Okay, visiting L.A.
Nuggets
they
are struggling
really struggling. The Nuggets are struggling. They've had some horrendous losses. Mm-hmm. And San Antonio's struggling. And New Orleans, I thought, was going to be just a dominating team. And they're up and down. They're up and then way down. So I look at the Lakers and I say, guess what? They're pretty good. They're better than I thought they were going to be. LeBron's still playing at a supremely high offensive level.
Best player in the NBA level?
No. That's Kevin Durant. But he's troubled right now.
Sure about that, Skip?
Well, he just got called a word and the bridge just got burned with one of
his teammates. The question is, it's not what my grandma used to say, Jamie. Boy, it's not what they call you. It's what you answer to.
Mm-hmm.
Huh?
Well, you think he answered?
I didn't say nothing. I'm just saying what my granny said years ago.
Okay, that's fine. But the point here is, if I'm LeBron and the reporter from The Athletic asked me about this again, because he already talked about it all last week, I would just say, look, I said what I wanted to say about it, and I appreciate your question and all the legwork you've done on this and all the reporting, but I need to move on because we got a chance to be really special this year.
He has moved on. And I don't know if you know it, but you see LeBron, that spread he had last night? I hit him up. I said, bro, let your boy come by and get one of the more hot plates. He's like, man, come on over.
He did not.
Yeah, he know what he said. You want me to show you what he said? He said, come on over.
You made that list.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
I could have came over and got me a good old hot plate. They had a yam. They had a mashed potato. They had, ooh, had nice spreads.
And I'm sure he posted every bit of it, right?
Stop hating. Uh-huh. But let me ask you a question, Skip. Did LeBron James not empower Kyrie to be the best Kyrie? Because think about
it. LeBron was. I agree with everything you just said. He deferred.
Yeah!
In part,
had you thinking that Kyrie was the closer.
Well, in fact, he is and was the closer. And the point was LeBron needed Kyrie to close. So he was. It's like you need to know thyself, as the Greek said. And he knew himself well enough to know man needs to know his limitations, as Clint Eastwood once said. And he knew his limitations, and Kyrie could make up for LeBron's limitations. So he said, you do it. You close it
LeBron,
on Christmas Day. You take the last shot against the Golden State.
The only limits a man truly possesses is the limits of his imagination.
Mm-hmm.
Did you see what LeBron has done? The man dreamed when he was a little small child in Akron, Ohio, of these. But Skip Bayless, you remember that night, and I know you remember it well, because Kyrie went for 57 against your Spurs.
Do I?
And LeBron James said, bro, do your thing.
Do your thing, because he was doing it at the highest level I think I've ever seen anybody. You want to talk about clutch shooting?
Yeah!
It was a clutch shooting tour de force. End of regulation, end of overtime. He just took the game over.
You think?
I got this.
You think?
You're good.
You think Jordan would let Scottie Pippen take over a game like that?
No, he would not. Because he wouldn't need him to.
Don't do this, Skip.
Well, he just wouldn't
don't
need
do
him
that,
to.
Don't do that,
Skip. No, I'm serious.
Don't do that, Skip.
So
don't
I understand. Yet the writer in The Athletic writes, James has long been criticized for how he handled Irving's trade request, or rather, how he didn't handle it. I don't criticize him at all. I don't know what he could have done.
Exactly.
Because LeBron's right. It was done by then.
Right.
Because I told you, and I got sources very close to this situation.
Yes.
Kyrie just wanted out, and he wanted nothing else. There was no way to mediate this. There was no conciliation that was going to happen.
No, there's nothing. There's nothing LeBron could have done at that point.
He was just done. Right. So you can't ask LeBron to crawl to Kyrie and say, "What can I do more for you?"
And guess what has happened since Kyrie left LeBron? He said publicly that the earth is flat. He has also said F Thanksgiving, and he need a 14 to 15 year bet to let these young players know that it is a marathon, not a sprint. And why old LeBron James all the while hadn't missed a beat? Did he done? For all I know, I mean, someone had to tell him that a Kyrie Irving still exists. Because he like, I know he
LeBron
went to.
LeBron has constantly said, I don't have enough help. And then he said a week ago, I almost cracked. So he hadn't missed a beat.
But,
you're right. He hadn't missed
but
a
here's
beat.
The thing. Though,
he's been LeBron. But, he's been the exact guy that Kyrie wanted no more of.
Yeah, but Kyrie
the
would
drama
love,
king.
But Kyrie would love to have that old 14, 15-year vet now to let everybody know everything going to be okay.
LeBron's a 16-year vet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And ain't missed a beat. Playing like he was in year eight, year nine, had he skipped?
Yeah.
Averaging 29 a game.
So Kyrie Irving said, he is such a diva that it's a crisis a day with LeBron James. Something's always wrong. He's always making those, you know, posting those.
But Skip, hold on.
Comments.
Who's been in the media as much as LeBron over the last month? Kyrie upset at Murray for busting him up, throwing balls up in the stands.
Well, he deserved to be upset at.
If I'm Al Horford, I'm like, bro, I need a conference. I need a word with you.
Okay.
What you mean by we need a bet?
And by the way, he apologized for his F Thanksgiving remarks.
But see, that's what happened. See, LeBron would have said, Kyrie, you can't say those things. Let you know what you can and can't say. That's all. See, Skip.
Well, remember, he's embraced his Native American heritage, so there's a lot of stuff going on there. It was deep. So you can't just condemn him for that.
So let me ask you a question. So when did he... So they've been having Thanksgivings for what, 400 plus years, almost 500 years? And Kyrie's been, how old is Kyrie, 25? So when he was 18, he never said that. 19,
well, he
20,
just
20.
Recently embraced his roots. You know,
okay,
well,
if, well, if you
he got it, he's Lakota Sioux roots, and he got a name, what is it, Small Mountain?
Or, yeah.
Yeah, okay.
Well.
Okay, well, don't get us started on what the Native Americans think of
our
celebration.
Okay.
Well,
own it.
Okay.
Why you backtrack?
Okay, well, because it came off. He was in it was a fit of anger because they had blown a game.
That's my point.
All right.
It had nothing to do with no American hair, no Indian
heritage.
I
don't know about that.
Well, then why you backtrack?
Well,
you got to be who you are.
Okay.
I'm a little chalk talk.
Are you?
No.
I didn't think so. I don't know where that came
from. You had me first.
Yeah. No. I got a homeboy. He was part Indian.
Really?
We call him Chief Stankfoot.
Stankfoot?
I just made it up. But I'm just saying, Skip Baylor. You know what, Skip? You take every chance you can because instead you were going good. You have like, there's nothing LeBron could have done. I mean, he did everything. He and blah, blah, blah. But, and then you turn around and say, he's such a diva. And Kyrie was right to leave it.
Well, he was.
No, he wasn't.
Come on. No mercy.
Thanks for listening to the Undisputed Podcast. I'm Jenny Taft. Join us again at 9:30 a.m. Eastern on Monday for another week of Undisputed. We'll see you then.
Facts, sports, one of one.